Sota Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin 7-7, and the Mishnah continues to discuss those eight things back from Mishnah Beis that had to be said specifically in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. Here we talk about the blessings recited by the Kohen Gadol. So that means, on Yom Kippur, after the Kohen Gadol did his special Yom Kippur service in the Kodesh Kodashim, he would read several sections of the Torah publicly, the public Torah reading, and then after that, he would make eight brachos, eight blessings. And those eight brachos had to be done specifically in Hebrew. The Mishnah doesn't give a reason for that requirement. So a couple explanations are given. One is simply because of the weight of the day and the Kedusha of the day, therefore Hebrew Lashon HaKodesh was appropriate. Others say it's learned out, this requirement, it's a rabbinic requirement, of course, to say this brachos, is learned out from the attached to, if you will, the requirements of the brachos from the Birchas Kohanim, like we had the previous Mishnah. So similarly over here, the Kohen Gadol must have to make his brachos in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. So the Mishnah says, Birchas Kohen Gadol Ketzad. How did the Kohen Gadol go about making his brachos? So first of all, we say the preliminaries, that the Chazon HaKnesses notol Sefer Torah v'nosna l'rosh HaKnesses. They would have to fetch a Sefer Torah for the Kohen Gadol to read it. It would be taken from the shul, the synagogue that was on the Har Bayis, the Temple Mount itself, and in that shul there was someone who was in charge of the, like, the superintendent of that Knesses, of that shul. His name was the Chazon. The word Chazon doesn't mean that he was doing the singing like we have today's usage, but from the word lechazot, it means to look out or see. Like, he looked after the affairs of the facility, that shul, that base Knesses, and therefore the Chazon of Knesses would take the Sefer Torah from where it was kept, v'nosna, and he would give it, the Sefer Torah, l'rosh HaKnesses, to the person who was in charge of the functioning of the basic Knesses, meaning someone like the Gabbai, the person who was in charge of, say, giving aliyahs and so on. V'rosh HaKnesses nosna l'sagan, the Rosh HaKnesses would hand over the Sefer Torah to the Sagan. The Sagan is the deputy Kohen Gadol, he was the number two, who would come into play in case the Kohen Gadol himself became invalidated for some reason. The Sagan knows not the Kohen Gadol. The Sagan would hand it over to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol omer u'makabel. The Kohen Gadol would stand up and receive it. Bit of a question that suggests the Kohen Gadol was sitting before, and if you're not a king from the line of David HaMelech, you're not allowed to sit in the Azara. So how was he sitting before? So the simplest answer is, this was happening in the Ezras Nashim, the same place where we had the Sota doing her activities earlier on the Masechta. So Ezras Nashim, before the Azara, doesn't have the same requirements, and a non-melech, a non-king is allowed to sit there. So he was sitting. He stood up, he got it, and then Vekora Omed, he would do the Kriyas HaTorah, the reading in public, also while standing up. This is out of Kavod HaTorah, of course. But it will be in contrast to the next Mishnah where we see the king sat when he read. Wait a moment for that. Vekore Acharemos. First he read the Parsha Acharemos. That's the Acharemos that we also read on our Yom Kippur in Shul. Acharemos, that first section there, that first Parsha, Perek, discusses the special avoda of Yom Kippur. Then, the way they read the Kriyas HaTorah in the time of the Beis Hamikdash was, they would have a metargam, a translator, who would translate into Aramaic, and he would also speak very loudly for everyone to hear. So he would, you know, repeat line by line, pasuk by pasuk, as the Kriyas HaTorah went on. So while the metargam is translating what the Kohen Gadol had just said, they would quickly roll the Sefer Torah scroll from the section Acharemos, that's in Vayikra Tezayin, Vayikra 16, if you will, forward a little bit to Parshas Emor, which is essentially is Vayikra Chav Gimel, a few columns later in the Sefer Torah, where it talks about the Isra Malacha, the prohibition of working on Yom Kippur, as well as the requirements for, you know, Inui, affliction. So that, it says, is V'ach Be'asor, that's the second thing he would read. That's a reference to Ach Be'asor L'chodesh HaShvi'i, on the 10th of the 7th month, there in Emor, which talks about, like I said before. Now, after that, V'golas HaTorah, they would roll up the Sefer Torah, U'menicha B'cheko, he would then hold it kind of like under his arm to his chest. Chek really means like folds of his clothing, so it's kind of like draped under his arm, under his like toga, if you will, whatever you want to call it, and then, you know, held to his chest, to his heart. Va'omer, and then he would publicly announce, the Kohen Gadol would, Yoser Masha Karasi Lefneichem Kasuv Kan. There's more written in this book than I've read to you so far, meaning there's more, what I'm about to read next is actually in this book, because what's going to happen is, it says, that's the public service announcement to let people know that even though he's about to read something Ba'al Peh from memory, that doesn't mean it's not in, this, in the Sefer Torah. What he's reading is also, or what he's reciting is also in the Sefer Torah written. He's just not reading it. And the reason why is because what he reads next, which is Uvasar, that's the first word of the section that starts Uvasar l'chodesh hashvi, Shebechumash hapekudim, that's in Chumash hapekudim. The Chazal referred to what we call Sefer Bamidbar as Chumash hapekudim, the book of counting and appointments, because that's how what we call Bamidbar begins. So there's a section in Sefer Bamidbar, at the end there in Parshas Pinchas, which talks about the special korbanos, the musafin, that are brought on Yom Kippur. So he reads, quote-unquote, reads that as well. But since he doesn't want to keep everyone waiting while they find that in a Sefer Torah by scrolling, rolling the scroll all the way to there, what happens instead is he says that kora al peh. He reads that from memory. The idea being that he is doesn't want to keep everyone waiting, so therefore he says it Baal Peh, and he announced before, even though I'm reading, saying it Baal Peh, does not mean it's not written inside the Sefer Torah and the Chumash. It is written in the Chumash, okay? It is written there in the Torah itself, the Torah scroll. Okay. Now, after he finishes those three sections of reading, which was his requirement, so then he's going to do the blessings. And these are the blessings that have to be dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. That was the point of our mission here. So it says, Umevarach Aleha Shmona Brachos. The Kohen Gadol would now make eight blessings subsequent to his public Torah reading. So the first of the eight is Al HaTorah, the blessing on the reading of the Torah itself. So that would be Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Nasan Lanu Torah Emes V'Chay Olam Ata B'Secheinu Baruch Ata Hashem Nosen HaTorah. Okay, that's the first of the eight. Then the second is Al HaAvoda, the blessing on the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's very much similar to our bracha we call Ritzei of our Shmona Esrei. The Ritzei that we have, of course, assumes there is actually no Avoda happening in the Beis HaMikdash, whereas this is here in our mission is assuming that Avoda was done. So it's slightly going to be a slightly different bracha, of course, and in the time of the Mikdash was functioning. So it would start something like Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Ba'amcha Yisrael V'sei Ratzei HaAvoda B'dvir V'secha, except the service done in your home, and would end She'oscha Levadcha B'yira Na'avod. You alone do we serve in reverence. B'yira. That is how Rashi learns in Yoma, and that's also the Yerushalmi. There is another Nusach that's brought down. Okay, fine. The third is Ala Hodaya. Then he blesses on like the thanks. That's the bracha we call Modim. So Modim Anachnu Lach. Okay. Because with Avoda comes Modim always. Then the fourth is Al Mechilas Ha'avon, on the forgiving of sin. So he starts out with the bracha that begins Atava Chartanu, and the end will be Melech Mochel Vosolech Lavonoseinu, etc. So that bracha like we have nowadays. Good. There is another version. That's what I said is the Baratuna like Rashi, but there is the Rambam brings it as it should be start with Slach Lanu, okay, and the end would be Mochel Avonos Amo Yisrael Barachamim. So slightly different nusach there. Okay, then you would say Al HaMikdash, a blessing on the Beis HaMikdash itself. So that would end Baruch Ata Hashem Shochen B'Tzion. That's how the Bar Tanur brings. Rashi has Baruch Asher Bachar B'Mikdash, blessed the one who chose the Mikdash. Okay, then you have Va'al Yisrael, a blessing on the Jewish people. So that would be like on davening for like the salvation, Yeshua of the Jewish people, and it would end Baruch HaBocher B'Amo Yisrael, the one who chose Israel. Then you have Al HaKohanim, a blessing on the Kohanim themselves, Baruch Mekadesh HaKohanim, who blessed the Kohanim, or those who say it ends instead, it ends Baruch Shebachar B'Zaro Shel Aharon, the one who chose the descendants of Aaron HaKohen. Okay, and then finally, Va'al Shar HaTfila, and then on the other prayers he needs to say, So that would be sort of a variable prayer, which would include depending on the needs of the time, depending what the Kalanister needed when he was making this bracha, and it would end, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Tefillah. Okay? So those are the eight brachos, and those are the eight brachos that had to be said specifically in Lashon HaKodesh, out of a covenant of the day, or perhaps, again, learned out based on the idea that the same way the Birchas Kohanim for the brachos, the three brachos, Birchas Kohanim, Yivarecha, had to be in Hebrew, so too, these brachos in Hebrew as well.